Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Just saw this big wall of water just coming straight for us and just started running. I had both of them in my hands and one on each arm, and then we started going under.
That's the voice of one survivor of the Indian Ocean tsunami talking about running from the wave of water 5 years ago. Tomorrow is the fifth anniversary of the tsunami. It wreaked havoc across 11 countries, killing a staggering 200,000 people and making millions more homeless. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has recently visited the Indonesian capital of Aceh, which was decimated during the tsunami. She's been meeting survivors and joins us now from the Indonesian capital, Jakarta. Karishma, good morning.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to you. Karishma, this solemn anniversary, 5 years since the tsunami, how are people in Aceh marking this anniversary?
Well, on Saturday, the actual anniversary of the tsunami, what we've been told is that there will be commemorative ceremonies held in the province. The Indonesian vice president is expected in Aceh to host and hold these ceremonies. You can surely understand this is something I think no one there will ever forget. I mean, every single person I met either lost somebody in the tsunami or they themselves had been affected in some way. No one's been untouched by this disaster. Apart from the ceremonies that are being held tomorrow, what we've also heard is that there will be some events taking place at the tsunami memorial, the museum that's been erected there just in the last year, in fact, where they've built a museum and a memorial to the victims of the tsunami. There's also a photo exhibition on display of some of the images from that time.
Karishma, you've been going around Aceh and talking to residents there. Everyone there is a survivor, in a sense, as you said, no one was untouched, a member of their family killed or their property destroyed. Tell us one or two stories of the people that you've met there and how they've tried to rebuild their lives.
Well, one story in particular comes to mind. I was in Banda Aceh, which is the capital of the Achenese province, and it was totally destroyed after the tsunami. People speak of it being a wasteland. But today, when you walk around the city, I mean, I've compared images from when my colleagues were out there 5 years ago. It's a bustling city. You know, the motorcycles ply the streets. There are shops on every corner selling everything from jilbabs to blue jeans. And it is an amazing improvement to what there was 5 years ago. And some even say to what there was before the tsunami.
Are you able to say that things are nearly back to normal?
I would say that certainly in parts of the city, things are nearly back to normal. And this particular story will illustrate that, I hope. This gentleman by the name of Junaidi owned a store on the high street. And at the time, it was completely washed away by the tsunami. It was a one-story store. Today, he's built back to three stories. His store is now the largest, or one of the largest, rather, in Aceh. But yet, just to underline how much of a tragedy this still is to people there today, when we asked him how he felt about being so successful, he broke down. He was unable to complete his sentence, his conversation with me, because he was still so upset from what had happened 5 years ago. He said nothing, no success can ever make up for the people that he's lost in his life, the pain of the past. The success of the present can't make up for that.
Well, I want to bring in now Christoph Gorder. He's Vice President of Emergency Response with AmeriCares, who's also been in the area. AmeriCares is an international aid organization that's been working on tsunami relief efforts for the last 5 years. Christoph, good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas to you. Karishma says that in the region of Aceh in Indonesia, in some ways things are almost back to normal, at least physically, the physical nature of the area. What have you found around the rest of the region as they've tried to rebuild after the devastation 5 years ago?
Well, I think Karishma's observations are spot on, and the big distinction between the physical reconstruction and then the human loss that will be felt for much, much longer. And so, yes, the buildings have been rebuilt, the bridges have been rebuilt, we've rebuilt schools and hospitals, we've helped people get their businesses up and going throughout the region, in India, in Sri Lanka, and in Indonesia is where we've primarily been working. And yes, life has gone on, But I think that the emotional and the psychological damage is probably as close to the devastation that you would have observed right after the tsunami.
Karishma, there's been an enormous amount of money pouring into the region, and rightfully so, since the disaster. What has been the dispensation of that money? Did you get any sense on the ground that it's been used to full effect?
Well, this was a question that was asked a number of times right after the tsunami and since in the years since, simply because, as you say, the amount was unprecedented. The results of the donations from around the world, money just pouring into places like Aceh after seeing those images on the television screens. It was said to be the largest relief operation since the Second World War.
Christoph Gorder, we talk about infrastructure rebuilding and hopefully some mental public health. What still needs to happen, in your view, to make this a full recovery? What's left undone?
Well, the tail end after a disaster of this magnitude, and actually, after many emergencies, the tail end is very long. And I think people talk about the full recovery taking at least a generation. I mean, you think about where we are in terms of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina here in our country. There's a lot more work that needs to be done in New Orleans. So I think that there's an enormous amount of work that still needs to be done, both in infrastructure and then in rebuilding the communities that will take a very long time. And so yes, there is a lot of work that remains to be done, and particularly in affected communities. I think it takes almost a generation for all the wounds to heal.
Karishma Vaswani, we heard after the disaster a rush to install better warning systems in the ocean, seismic warning systems, so that the next time there's a tsunami, people can get to higher ground. Are those warning systems in place? Where are we at?
Well, we're almost there, but not quite. Just in the month of October, in fact, the countries who were affected by the Indian Ocean tsunami all got together. There was a big tsunami warning drill system. This is something that they've been trying to practice ever since the tsunami, under the auspices of the United Nations as well, a worldwide effort. But by and large, the criticism has been that although there's been funds for this activity, the money's there, the countries haven't gone so far as to implement these funds in the proper way. For example, in the most recent earthquake that we had in Indonesia in October, in Sumatra, it was said that even if the early warning system had been in place, the people who would have been most affected by a tsunami would not have been warned in time. So just another illustration about the fact that even 5 years on from a disaster that will probably remain in our memory as the disaster that changed the definition of all natural disasters in the world, we're still nowhere near where we need to be to warn the people most at risk.
Thank you, Karishma Vaswani, BBC reporter in Indonesia, who is in Banda Aceh in the Aceh region. She joins us this morning from Jakarta.